Welcome everyone back to another edition of Cleve and Me as we not only get closer to Cleveland's last hurrah with us here when he comes down to Shy, we are also looking forward to Hell in a Cell. But on top of that, first stop is this Sunday with AEW Double or Nothing, and also they have their 3 year. I'm going to say, yeah, I think 3 year anniversary tonight, and they will be in Las Vegas where it all started. So kudos to them, as man, years have flown by. I remember when they were first starting up and we were just talking rumors of the few guys who was in there. But that being said, Cleve, before we break it all down, WWE, AEW, and more, how we doing? And can't wait to see you next week, bro.
Yeah, I'm doing good. Like Joe mentioned, we're almost a week away from me going down there. I'm really pumped. We got a lot planned for that weekend.
Oh, yeah.
To really top it off, Hell in a Cell, man. We already touched on it last week, but to see Cody and Seth will be great. Hopefully, Roman makes an appearance. And also, we want to give a special happy birthday to our boy, Ryu Kendrick.
Yes.
This Sunday in person in match, so I'm pumped about that. But like Joe said, AEW is celebrating their 3 year anniversary, which I would have to say I didn't become, but congratulations to them. And we smacked out with the Unified Champions and a little bit of Raw. So I'm really pumped to talk tonight.
Yeah, and honestly, before I keep getting into it, I already texted him, but happy birthday, Ryu Kendrick. You know, our buddy Myron Chapman. He might join us. Tones might join us. Not really sure. Next week, we'll definitely have more guests and get some previews and predictions. But, you know, Cleve, you talked about it real quick before we get into the match card for this Sunday AEW. You know, we still only have the one Hell in a Cell in Raw Talk. MVP got to pick the stipulation against Bobby because he got help from Omos and won. So the stipulation, Tones and I were watching Raw. We're like, we hope it's not the Hell in a Cell. They did a cage match, and they're on round three. But so they ended up choosing 2-on-1 handicap for that, which is cool. I like that we get that. That spices it up a little bit, but doesn't take away another Hell in a Cell. What are you leaning right now for our second Hell in a Cell match without Roman Reigns being in the pay per view?
Maybe this is a little far fetched, but maybe you can do Judgment Day versus the Balor's Club, including.
We were talking about it last week. It's possible.
Six person intergender Hell in a Cell match. I don't think that's ever been done. The last time they did six guys to Hell in a Cell, correct me if I'm wrong, but it was 2001 Armageddon, where Kurt Angle was the WWF champion. Phenomenal match, by the way. But if you were to do that, that would get people, and it would build up to, I guess it would add on to their story. I think that's the only reasonable Hell in a Cell you can make, is like everything else is just going to be a standard match.
Yeah, because, I mean, the 2-on-1 handicap, but we're not even getting the USA title or the Intercontinental, it looks like. So, unfortunately.
Where are they?
Ricochet seems to be in a storyline with Jinder, and then last week Theory was off. Not sure why there. Maybe he just couldn't be on the episode. And if anybody realizes, sorry, we do have some technical difficulties. Storms earlier and a tornado actually rolled through our neighborhood here in Wheaton. And then it seems to be that they're headed Cleveland's way now. So we might be having some in and out things here. But if I had to pick another match, we know we talked about last week, but we got another SmackDown and Raw, and it does look like the Judgment Day versus the you know, Too Sweet, Balor, AJ Styles, Liv Morgan. It looks like it's heading that way. The only other thing they could really do is they could do the triple threat with Becky, Bianca, and Asuka. Now that Becky won that, they could do that in a Hell in a Cell, which I would be fine with as well. So give me one of those, and I won't complain. You get Cody and Seth in one match, and the other, you either get a triple threat for the women's title or a six-pack challenge. I'm all down for that. But going on to AEW, because we got not only tonight, for the people that know, we record on Wednesday evenings, and we're about within an hour away from AEW Dynamite that's in Las Vegas. And they have quite a few things going on. They actually have a cage match themselves. It's Wardlow versus Sean Spears in a cage match with MJF as special referee. That should be good as they fight this Sunday, MJF and Wardlow. We also have Samoa Joe versus Kyle O'Reilly, both former WWE stars, in the Owen Hart Cup tournament semifinals. I stumbled through that. Winner of that will face it's all about the boom, Adam Cole, this weekend. And then Britt Baker takes on Toni Storm in a semifinal matchup, which I find very intriguing as well. Go home episodes for any wrestling show are usually pretty good. Cleveland, but especially, you know what? I wasn't feeling the last go home AEW had, but I'm liking this one. They got Jungle Boy versus Ricky Starks versus Swerve Strickland, FTR, Dax Harwood and Cash Wheeler versus Trent Beretta and Ricky Romero for the ROH titles. So the ROH titles are on the line tonight. John Moxley and Eddie Kingston versus the Private Party. And, you know, Thunder Rosa will be interviewed as well. And CM Punk and Adam Hangman Page will come face to face. So you always got to be excited for a go home episode.
I 100% agree. Even from the WWE standpoint, sometimes when they hit real hard on the go home episode leading up to the pay-per-view, it really, really makes you want to tune into the pay-per-view. I think what's best, though, what you mentioned, CM Punk and Adam Hangman will have a confrontation. If a brawl breaks out, that can always build up to people seeing the final match, because I believe it's for the AEW champion between the two, correct?
Yep, the AEW championship between CM Punk and Adam Hangman.
So there you go. A little brawl, security breaks it up, and then you make people more pumped to see it. So the go-home episode to any pay-per-view, especially when
it's like the security.
I like it because it adds the realistic to it. Because if you were to fight in the middle of a club or something, you know, security would come and try to break you up.
Sure.
I do like the realistic of it. Sometimes it's funny, though, because you see, like, Brock Lesnar when Undertaker. Brock and Goldberg was brawling.
I love Lesnar and Goldberg. I loved it with those two. Those two, like, there were so many security guards whooped out of there.
Just slinging the fucking security guards around. But, yeah, I always feel to go home to any big pay-per-view is very key, because if you don't have a good one, it can really rub people the wrong way going into the pay-per-view.
Yeah, and it really, you know, that episode, people, you know, take it for granted. They always think the one after, or, you know, they don't need to see the one before, they know the matches. But you gotta, it's a story. It's a creative story that, you know, sometimes is a dud, sometimes is not. With so many pay-per-views, especially in WWE, one per month, and AEW does one every few months, there's a decent amount of them, so we expect them to deliver. Let's just get right into it, though, Cleve, is, you know, we don't want to waste too much time before we lose track of our predictions here. We're going to start with match one, and I find this match to be very intriguing, especially from one team. Hookhausen, who we all know from Impact, he has the painted vase. I'm sorry. That's the name of their team, is their tag team. But Danhausen, who has the painted face, formerly Impact character, pretty funny guy, doesn't man a few words, but is funny when he does talk, is teaming up with Hook, who, if any, for those who don't know who he is, he's a smaller guy in AEW who's coming up the board's good. He's very athletic and very good shape, and they're taking on Tony Nese and Mark Sterling. Now, my prediction is the team of Hookhausen. Actually, I was going to say it's an automatic. I'm going to go a loss, and then they rival against each other here because they seem like two opposite people. And it's one of those tag teams that doesn't quite like necessarily fit, and maybe a guy like Tony Nese can use a win. Are you going to go with, you know, Danhausen's a very hot name right now in the wrestling community, and Hook is up and coming AEW. Do you think they get the win, or do you think they get the loss and start feuding with each other?
Can you repeat a little bit of that? I kind of had to step away real quick.
First off, do you like the character of Danhausen?
I can't say too much upon it. I only really looked at the match card today, so I kind of could like give my predictions on who would win, but I'm still a little new to AEW. So,
and well, I just, maybe no, I just asked because maybe you thought in Impact he was a pretty decent figure as well, but he's up and coming on the scene. We also have Jade Cargo, who is a champion. She is the TBS Women's Champion, not the main AEW champion. She's taking on Anna Jay, who I don't know a whole lot about, but I'm gonna go with Jade Cargill getting the victory here because she just won the title, and to me, she just got a new contract from AEW as well. So, Cleveland, what does that usually mean? You get a new contract, you just got a belt, you don't take it off that person.
Oh no, you definitely keep it on them for a while. It's the reason why you signed them to that big contract, especially if it's more than 2 years and you put the belt on them. You obviously have a lot of faith in that person, so that should tell you a lot about this character.
Yeah, and that was one of the ones where Buck What You Heard, who's on once in a while, and we thought he maybe go WWE because he maybe has more of that, you know, superstar persona instead of having, you know, just wanting to be a wrestler, maybe wanted to be. But she re-signed there, and as Tones reported on the Dan Report a couple of weeks ago, that will be the winner there. Match number three. Now, this is hard to predict, but Cleveland, out of Kyle O'Reilly versus Samoa Joe, who would you like to see win and battle Adam Cole in the men's Owen Hart Cup tournament final between Kyle O'Reilly and Samoa Joe?
Oh, Samoa Joe. I've always had love for Samoa Joe, dating back to the original DNA days. It was just something about Samoa Joe, whether it was his finisher move, the Muscle Buster, or just him on the promo. We're being honest, he's probably one of the better talkers in all of wrestling. If we're being, when he cuts a promo, you really feel it. And I think he's the right choice to go against Adam Cole.
Yeah, and you don't want to put Kyle O'Reilly, because Kyle O'Reilly is like in the same state. That would be interesting. They fought in NXT before. But that being said, I'm going to agree with you. Samoa Joe versus Adam Cole. Now, when they fight each other, if that is the matchup, I'll be rooting for Adam Cole. Are you going to go Samoa Joe against Adam Cole, Mr. Cleave?
Oh, yeah. I just never saw the hype on Adam Cole. No disrespect to anyone, but you just never saw the appeals. And like I said, Samoa Joe's the man.
Well, I'll say this. Once we stop chanting, Joe, he gets not cool to me. So I'm going to go with Adam Cole over the Joe. And then the happiness ends there. So that being said, we split the difference. We're going to move on to the Women's Owen Hart Cup Tournament Final. Again, let's start with Toni Storm and Britt Baker. Winner will take on Ruby Soho, Chris Statlander, but Cleave, out of Toni Storm and Britt Baker, the longest current AEW, not current, but the longest running AEW champion, just lost her title to, why couldn't I really quickly, to Thunder Rosa, and Toni Storm just coming from WWE, God damn, who do you think gets the win there?
Oh, Toni Storm. I was really disappointed when she left the WWE. I thought she had a real bright future. So I'm going with Toni Storm on this one.
She was making like 20 grand a day during OnlyFans. And now I saw you and I sent it to Lana was getting into it. You know, hey, it doesn't mean you're getting naked, but by God, if you can make that much money to put up some bikini pics on a website, good for you people. But let me say this. I don't know if I'll be paying into those funds because I there's free ways to do things in this world, and I'm just going to leave it at that. Mr. Cleave, what do you think about all these women wrestlers? Do you think while they're wrestling, they should be doing OnlyFans? Or, hey, they can do whatever the hell they want. I mean, there's no stopping anybody from doing anything.
I think it's this is a real touchy one. I think it's more of a, it just depends on where you work. I think if you work for the WWE, I just think it would be bad because majority of the people that are like buying your merchandise and watching you are kids. And we know how kids get on computers, their tabs and stuff, and how easy it is to access it. So I think if you were to make work in like a major company, like even AEW, for example, you know, But I think AEW is more toward the adults, so it would be different compared to the family base that WWE has. So, but like you mentioned, a lot of them is not even really nude. It's more just like bikini pics, which is even just crazier to see that, you know, people would just pay that much. Just to see,
I mean, it is wild. Like, you could literally, I'm not gonna get in.
You know
what's up?
I applaud the hustle, though. You know, it's ways to make money. Because I'm pretty sure wrestlers don't make as much as other people that play sports do. So you got to compromise, basically.
Yeah, and there's I wouldn't invest my money there. I'll just leave it at that. There's ways you can go about that in a much cheaper manner. But hey, to each their own, and good for them if they can make that good of money. God bless America. It's Tim Crowley I'm just talking to right now, who also is coming to Hell in a Cell. He said he'll be seeing me Hell in a Cell and for Tone's B-Day, which is crazy because we go – June is so wild. It's Cleve weekend / Tampa Tone's girlfriend's birthday. Then the weekend after that, my family, we go to Lake Geneva. A couple buddies are coming. Then the weekend after that is Tone's birthday. Then the weekend after that, I got a wedding in Brooklyn. And then, boom, we're at 4th of July. But anyways, who cares about my life? Let's get back to the predictions. All right, so you got Toni Storm. I'm going to go Britt Baker just because I simply like her more, and that's all I need, and she's very good at what she does. I hope Ruby Soho beats Chris Statlander, and we get Ruby Soho versus Britt Baker, and Britt Baker wins. So, Cleveland, you pick Toni Storm. Who do you want her to go against, Statlander or Soho, and then who wins that?
Oh, I'll take Stan Leonard. I've just never been a big Ruby Rojo, Ruby Riot.
Oh, actually, and I think you lost your – I got to look this up on Twitter, our poll, but go on with the final for that.
Oh, and then the two, Toni Storm. I didn't even know she signed with AEW. I will applaud them for that signing. I think she's a good wrestler to feature in your women's division.
Okay, and okay. So here it is, folks, for the people who
see if I won.
Do not. Oh, well, that means you didn't even see if you won. Well, you're a loser, just like your Lakers, just like your Milwaukee Bucks, whoever the heck else we put in there today. But Zach LaVine's going to walk out on us probably, so what do I know as a season ticket holder sucker. Ruby Soho. So our question, there was an argument between Tones and Cleve last week. Who are we taking in a, you know, one match, just one regular wrestling match to win the title, Ruby Soho or Naomi? Ruby Soho 55%, Naomi 45%. So, Cleve, it was a close battle, but unfortunately you take the L. Tones would probably tell you what's new. But, hey, get him back during week one when it's Bucks at Cowboys. You can get him back for last year week one, and then you can get him back for this. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but I would lie my payback in those. In that area. But moving on, we have, see, like, I'm not going to lie, I don't know a lot about this Serena Deeb. She's fighting Thunder Rosa for the championship. We're just going to assume. Go ahead, Cleve.
Actually, I just looked her up. This is the, she used to be with CM Punk back when he was originally with the Straight Edge Society. I don't know if a lot of people remember that phase where it was her, CM Punk, and Luke Gallows, and they were basically the Straight Edge Society. This was one of heel Punk when he was a heel on SmackDown and stuff. So that's kind of the only reason I know who that is. I was like, oh, wait, yeah, she used to roll with CM Punk. She shaved her head bald in the middle of SmackDown one time. It's the craziest thing ever, but I remember her from that.
Yeah, and yeah. Like I mean, I watch AEW at least every other week, but I don't know enough on her to want to, you know, comment. So I'm just going to go Thunder Rosa with the dub there. Yeah, she just became champion. I think it would be almost pointless to have her just move on that quick. There's 10 matches on this card in total. We just got to our fifth one, so we'll keep going down the line. Next, Cleveland, it's a three-way tag team title match. We have Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus with Christian on the side. Versus Team Taz, who is Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs, who's huge. Versus Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland, two former NXT WWE employees for the titles. Now, this is an interesting one. Oh man, oh man. I think they're gonna have Jungle Boy go on a singles run here soon. So I'm gonna say they lose their titles. I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go Team Taz. They've been around for a while. Taz is a good leader and a good announcer. Ricky Starks and Powerhouse Hobbs. They just, you know, they work well together. Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland, I don't know much about their tag game, but I know they're good single stars. But at the same time, maybe they need a W bad here. I'm not really sure, but I think it's three great teams with six great wrestlers featured here. But Cleve, I'm gonna take Team Taz and becoming the new tag champions. This is a great tag match.
It looks like a great tag match, but I think I'm gonna have to agree with you on Team Taz. I really don't know too much about Jungle Boy and the other guy, but I always hear his name. So I mean, it seems like he's a big guy, big star over there. You mentioned it's weird to see Keith Lee in a tag team. I always take him as a singles competitor, so it's kind of a weird move, but you're right. It seems Team Taz has been together a long time, and Taz knows what he's doing. So Team Taz 2-0.
Yeah, and hey, out of the three teams there, that's kind of rant. Like, that's not very easy to do, you know, with so many great teams. I thought he might go a different direction, but hey, it's hard to argue. It's always good when you agree with a guy like myself. Not really. Moving on to match number 7, we have a huge match up here. There's a little, you know, they have so many factions, but these are the biggest of the big. Jericho Appreciation Society, which is their faction, is made up of Jericho, Matt Menard, Angelo Parker, Daniel Garcia, and Jack Hager, formerly known as Jack Swagger in WWE. They're kind of like make fun of the WWE clan, like instead of Straight Edge Society, Jericho Appreciation Society, saying they're more about being entertainers than wrestlers because they're the coolest. So that's their direction. And they're taking on Eddie Kingston, Santana Ortiz, and the Blackpool Combat Club, which is Brian Danielson, formerly known obviously as Daniel Bryan, and John Moxley, formerly known as Dean Ambrose, with William Regal. So I love Jericho, but man, it's hard to go. I like Eddie Kingston. I like Moxley. I like William Regal. Cleveland, who are you leaning in this big 5-on-5 bout?
Oh, I just looked at the Blackpool Comeback Club. What is this? Daniel Bryan's and John Moxley.
That's a mouthful.
That's an interesting tag team, but I think I'm going to take that side with Eddie Kingston and them just because they got William Regals in the corner, and I was a huge fan of Daniel Bryan when he was with the WWE.
Yeah, and I was not, so there's that. I would have been a huge fan of the Yes Movement days when, like, he was becoming – the WrestleMania versus Triple H, but versus Triple H in the first match versus Batista and Randy Orton in the last one, everything leading up to that year. When he got back to wrestling and they tried to make him, like I said, planet champion, I thought that was the biggest loser idea, and it was partly his. I get it, you're trying to help the earth, but I didn't like it. So there's that. We split the difference there and we're tied 1-1 again. Moving on to match number 8, another tag match, Cleve. It's the House of Black, which is Malachi Black, Buddy Matthews, both obviously former WWE stars, and Brody King versus the Death Triangle of Pac, Perdo Oscuro, and Rey Fénix. So I'm just going to say real quick, I want to go with the House of Black. I was always an A-lister Black fan. I thought he could, you know, had a lot of potential and still does. Buddy Matthews is a good fighter. And Death Triangle Pac is awesome, but I don't know. I don't know as much about that team, and I don't like them as much, so I'm going to go with the House of Black here.
I'll go with the House of Black, too. Like you mentioned, I know a few guys on there, and I really don't know the other guys on that side. But I want to make a quick point. It is a lot of tag matches on this pay-per-view, honestly. I felt like we just named about...
Yeah, there's 5 out of 10, half of them.
You know, I love tag team wrestling, but, you know, this is a lot of tag. And usually they do a battle royal, don't they? Like a Las Vegas battle royal or something like that. I don't know. I just thought it was crazy to see this many tag matches, but you can go ahead to the.
No, I mean, I thought the same thing, and I know they have, you know, a lot of people now too, and they're big on their factions and tag team work, but it's especially standing out in this pay-per-view. And to be honest with you, I like their singles matches, actually. I take that back. But the last tag match, Mr. Clegg, we got the Hardys, Jeff and Matt, obviously, versus the Young Bucks. You know, New Blood, one of the new great tag teams in all of the businesses, versus an older great team in the Hardys. Do you think they let the even though neither team to go over, the Young Bucks are well established, but do you think the young guys, no pun intended, and the Young Bucks win, or do you think the old men of the Hardys take it home, since they might, you never know how much time they have left?
I think this is a type of match where they would definitely do more than one. So I think the Hardys get the first one just because, you mean, like we talked, they are the veteran. They were one of the greater tag teams of the Attitude Era, just so much legacy behind that. But I definitely think if they have, I don't think this will be the only match between these two, but I'll give the Hardys the first victory for this one.
I'm going to go. I'm going to go Hardys. Young Bucks, I'm not a huge fan of them, honestly. Not just because they're heels most of the time, just because I'm not huge on them. I'm going to go with the Hardys. I always liked Half. You know, it's weird. Sometimes I go back and forth. When Jeff Hardy was having a substance abuse problem, sometimes I'm like, come on, man. And then as Matt Hardy got older, his ring, I remember he was like, in WWE, he couldn't jump off the top rope. It was like, get to the second rope, and that was, and I was like, ooh, he's on his way out. But that being said, they've, you know, done some great things in AEW, had some great spots, and I hope they take home the W, because I don't know how much more we will get of them. So go Hardys, and, you know, this should be a pretty, one of the top matches on the card, honestly. But let's get to the main event, Mr. Cleve. Hangman Adam Page versus CM Punk now. Adam Hangman Page. We haven't been, me, you, Buck, what you heard, other opinions, even tones. We like him, but we don't love him. We feel like, you know, he's a great wrestler in the ring, but his character just doesn't put us on a level where we see him as a long, long-term type champion. Do you think CM Punk, who has been great since his return, is going to get this win here? Do you, like, because if he doesn't, I mean, he might get another chance, let's say, in a round two. But if he loses this one, I don't know the next opportunity he's going to get, because they have a lot of people to put out there on the map. Who do you think's coming down with the big one at Double or Nothing?
Well, before I answer, I do want to touch back what you said on Adam Payne.
Please do.
It seems like from reading Bleach Report comments, just a lot of people just don't view him as the top guy in the company. So, and I was just looking at everyone that's have held the AEW champion. He's only held it for 193 days and counting, but I think he's going to end up being one of the shorter runs of people that hold the belt, just because I think a lot of people just can't get behind him as the top guy. So with that being said, CM Punk will be crowned the new AEW champion this Sunday.
And boy, if that does happen, which I hope it does, and I'm going to predict it does, they're the, you know, you're, they call themselves the purists, the professional wrestling AEW fans are going to be livid if that happens. And the reason they are going to be, and I can see it right now, is because similar to the Big E run, you know, Big E was kind of short. I just don't think he will ever be honest with you. And now if he comes back from that neck injury, yeah, put him over, do it for a year. But I didn't think he was ready to be a champion for like over a year, kind of like Hangman Page. And that's saying nothing wrong with either guy. But CM Punk, hey, he's been trying to get to the top of the pay-per-view main event champion for his whole career. He never got to do it in WrestleMania. Yes, he got to main event other pay-per-views and have the titles, but this is one of AEW's biggest pay-per-view. It was the first one they've ever had. So yes, it's always on Memorial Day. I think it is the biggest one they have. And I'm going to say CM Punk comes home with the gold and holds that title for a while. Kenny Omega length. And then I think we'll see Kenny Omega and CM Punk end up in about a year, you know, champ versus prior champ, get into that. But as we cap that off, I'm going to go with CM Punk as well. Cleve, now we went through the card. We talked about all the matches. Where are you putting your eyes on this if you had to go back and watch just one or two of them?
I think I would definitely would love to see that Chris Jericho, that anarchy type match. I think that's going to be a chaotic match. And I think the one with CM Punk and Adam Hangman, just because it will be cool to see the three count and CM Punk holding the AEW belt.
Yeah, hard to agree against, disagree with those two. I am going to mention two different ones, though, because it is a great card, and there will be worthy as well. I will go if Samoa Joe versus Adam Cole, I think, will be really good if that does happen. So I'm going to, I think that'll be a very fun match. And then the three-man tag match, Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus versus Team Taz versus Keith Lee and Surf Strickland. Interested to see how that ring work works and the dynamic there. But again, it's on Sunday. You know, everyone's got Monday off. I'm going to have a couple cocktails, enjoy it. It's going to be a great old time. That being said, we're in the latter half of our episode. Now we talked AEW. We gave our predictions. Now we're on to WWE in Cleveland. I know you wanted to bring up Roman Reigns because you talked to him in the beginning. Why are you laughing after SmackDown Friday night?
Man, you know, it's something. It's always great to see how passionate people are about WWE. I think there are two moments that stand out in WWE history. The guy in the white shirt when The Undertaker streak is broke, his face, and the girl, the little girl that was angry that The Miz won the champion. Those are two of the most memorable WWE moments from crowd. And I think Friday, seeing kids, like, I don't, the one kid with his hand over his face looked like he just had a lot going on. Like, he couldn't process the Usos winning the champions. I just saw this video on Instagram. This two-year-old is mean mugging Roman, and Roman looks back and mean mugs the kids. Like, it's just great to see that his character is building more and more. It's not just becoming stale, as a lot of people believe. I think getting raw emotions from the crowd shows that you are really good at what you are doing. And let's be honest, everyone is acknowledging Roman Reigns.
And we love the kid reactions. I mean, there's gifts of a couple young women from the past with Becky Lynch, good and bad reactions. And those are always the best. As we now know, the Usos now have four titles as they're the unified tag team champions. So now, I mean, they are holding all the gold. And as Cleveland said, they are taking, they keep taking that next step. And I keep thinking, I'm not getting bored of it because they keep taking that next step, Cleve. Some, there are some arguments out there, it's getting old and redundant. But you know what? I might have been, I've watched it all. And I just flat out disagree. I love how it keeps on, you know, going.
If people are complaining about this, then people have to complain about when John Cena, no disrespect to how great John Cena was, but there was a point in time where John Cena never lost a big match. Big match Cena shows up, he wins every time. So I think a lot of people just hate because they just find something to complain about. If you were to really look at how Roman Reigns' career started off as a guy that was part of The Shield, a lot of people call it one of the greatest factions in WWE history, where I would say Seth Rollins was the best wrestler of the three, and I still do think combat-based he is. But even with Dean Ambrose, you have more people that prefer Dean Ambrose over Roman Reigns. Roman couldn't cut a promo to save his life. Oh my, he was horrible on the mic. Through all in all, Vince McMahon pushing Roman, the crowd didn't want it. And then look at Roman now. He don't need Paul Heyman anymore, but it's still great to have Paul Heyman as his side. Just the funny stuff that Heyman does. But Roman is more confident on the mic. He's better in the ring. This might be the best wrestler we have seen WWE create in probably since John Cena, honestly. Dun, 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 dun. You know, and Cena's the man. You know, I might have my opinion about Cena as when he became, you know, PG Cena, when the FU became the attitude adjustment and stuff like that. There's no denying that Cena had the crowd in the palm of his hands like Roman Reigns does now. Either you hate Roman or you love him. There's just no in between.
Yeah, and that's a sign of a great heel when you only have people on one. And, hey, kind of – now the Judgment Day is trying it where they don't say acknowledge me, but they try to get everybody on their feet, and some do stand. But the We The Ones, I love – even when I'm there, when I hear the Roman Reigns music, you can't help but just give one. Like, you just – you don't even think about it. It just kind of naturally happens there. So I couldn't agree more. I'm loving the Roman storyline, and he's not at Hell in a Cell, which is a little disappointing. I thought he'd be defending a title there, but hey, he's going to be defending one of the next three pay-per-views, which is early July, first week of July, 4th of July weekend. Actually, it's going to be Money in the Bank in Vegas, which are going to make a huge deal. Then last week of July will be SummerSlam, which is in Nash, Vegas, which will be awesome. It's the second biggest pay-per-view. And then we will have Fight at the Castle, where Drew McIntyre grew up, which is first week of September. So three huge pay-per-views, along with Hell in a Cell, four huge pay-per-views. It's a great summer of pay-per-views. It really is. So I'm really looking forward to that. So, you know, Riddle and RK, Randy lost the titles. They got dominated. Randy was out on Monday Night Raw, they said, due to his injuries. Cleveland, a comment I saw is, man, Riddle, no matter if he's Randy or not, he is over. The crowd loves him. Do you see that Riddle-Randy feud coming soon, or do you maybe just see Riddle going on his own and they avoid that feud for now?
I don't know. That was a really great promo that Matt Riddle cut. I really never heard him cut a promo before, and I thought he actually did a really I think this is the start of his single run. I know there's rumors that he's going to be one of the three guys that end up facing Roman within these next few months, but even if, you know, he doesn't win, which I don't think he will, you can probably put the U.S. or the Intercontinental champion on him. I just think the crowd is really behind him now more than when he – before he joined up with Randy. So I think they need to take advantage of this. And he's really good in the ring. Like I said, he's good on the mic. So I think this is the time. And then eventually you can save that Randy versus Matt Riddle for Mania in California.
I don't like that idea at all, but I'm going to kindly disagree with you. And I'm going to say next Monday night, Riddle's going to say, Randy can't make it again, blah, blah, blah. He has a match. And then Randy comes out of nowhere and RKO. And it ended up being a little bit bittersweet for our man, Matt Riddle. We start a great, you could start a great between SummerSlam and Money in the Bank. That way you don't even have to put either of those guys in the Money in the Bank. You could just have them in a match and put other guys in there. Although I think it'd be cool to actually see Riddle maybe even win or be in it, but that's for another time. Riddle just jumping off the maps right now. He's a very good in ring. He's not old. And at the same time, a lot of people buy into his new, stoner character, is I am going to just call it like I see it there. Mr. Cleve, in between Raw and SmackDown, we just focused on the storyline of RK, Mick Bro was for a while now, then it was RK Bro versus the Usos. Tag team titles were lost. We don't have the main titles in the picture. What do you want to hit next? What are you more intrigued by, the triple threat now of Asuka, Becky, and our champion Bianca, or are you more intrigued by the Judgment Day right now? What would you say if you had to pick one direction, and maybe even a direction for our Hell in a Cell?
I think the triple threat match will be phenomenal. Them adding Becky Lynch just makes the match even more better. You can always save this way. You can save the Belair and Asuka first match for a bigger pay-per-view. So I think adding Becky into this, I think she would probably end up taking a pinfall just because Asuka has returned recently, and Asuka, the crowd loves Asuka. Let's just say it like
main evented 4 weeks in a row since being back.
See, and rightfully so. I think we both talked about this. She is honestly probably better than majority of the women's wrestlers on there, but I think her promo skills hold her back from, you know, other women wrestlers. But now that she's back, she's rightfully so deserves to be in the main event picture. So this triple threat match will be really great to see.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm very intrigued by both. I'm going to say the opposite, though, and play devil's advocate for this reason. The Judgment Day are going to add more members, I hope to see that. But I think the dynamic of Edge, Damian Priest, and Rhea Ripley, three amazing talents, versus Finn Balor, Liv Morgan, and AJ Styles, three amazing talents. The more the merrier. Give it to me in a Hell in a Cell. As you said, you think it would be, that would probably be the first time ever a mixed tag faction Hell in a Cell match. It would have to be the first. I can't think of it. It
definitely is the first. For Hell in a Cell, definitely is. They rarely do this, this many people inside of a Hell in a Cell.
You know what? Me and Tones are talking about, we kind of missed the mixed tag team. You know, when they were doing that stuff on the side and just have it. I think it brings a nice dynamic to the episode where you can get, you know, maybe a woman who's not as recognized with, you get them in the ring with a man, and that helps progress them a little bit. I kind of like the mixed tag team matches.
It was cool. We had saw Braun Strowman and Alexa Bliss.
I think yeah.
A lot of people's favorite tag team. I think it was Charlotte Flair was teamed up with someone too. But yeah, I think they should do more intergender tag team matches just because it is fun to see. It's quite interesting. It's always nice to see, you know, the men and the women wrestler and the men wrestlers tangle up. I remember Beth Phoenix would sometimes wrestle with the men. So, I mean, it's just something new. And it's, like you mentioned, you can get people TV time.
Yeah, and I'm not saying they're going to bring it back or anything like that, but that's where we're going. And real quick comment, Friday it was mentioned, we talked about Naomi and Sasha. You can get our thoughts from last episode. Not too much has progressed there, but they have, you know, been taken off their sites and everything like that. And Michael Cole did say Cleveland that, you know, they're going to be up. The tag team titles are going to be up for a tournament here. And I know you were in favor of just canceling them all together. I don't think I'd cancel. I think it's the wrong time to do that because the women might feel even more disrespected by that. But I'm not really looking forward to seeing who's crowned the new champions at this moment. I could say that.
I mean, you know, that's always a tough pick. You don't want to, like, disrespect the women wrestler. But you also have to be realistic with yourself. And, like, I think – I don't want to talk about too much what I said last week, but like I said, we just don't think the women's tag team champions are as important as in the other belts. We're on the same level as a 24/7 champion. And there's only one tag team – I was reading this on Bleacher Report – there's only one tag team on the main rosters, and that's Natalya and Shayna Baszler. So you're going to have to form tag teams again. Probably, I think NXT already has their own women's division. So
they're bringing up some tag teams, though. They did report that a couple of, because they just don't simply have enough. They have great individual Raw talent, but they don't got a lot of great women's tag team talent.
And, you know, sometimes, though, like, you can put people in tag teams and form great tag teams. We've seen it with RK-Bro, Alpha Academy, Chad Gable and Otis. You could put teams like that together. So I think there's a possibility, but I don't think no one cares who really wins this match. Whoever
holds. Yeah, and my question is they talk about redoing that, but yet we can't even find ourselves getting the USA title or Intercontinental title on the card. They weren't at WrestleMania, now they're not going to be here. It's like, unless Theory or Ricochet have conflicts where they can't be on TV, which Theory wasn't this Monday, but Ricochet's been feuding with Jinder and Shanky. What's the deal here, Cleve? I mean, come on now.
Yeah, it just seems the middle card just not as important as any other belt. I just don't understand. Why do you put a belt on a guy and you don't see him for weeks in? Some people probably don't even know who is the Intercontinental Champion just because you don't see him enough. It's quite ridiculous. But I do, it's something else that crossed my mind too. It's cool to see Alexa Bliss picking up some key wins this past week. I believe she is 3-0 since she has returned. So it seems like they're possibly building her back up, her character back up to possibly challenge for the Raw Women's Champion a couple months down.
Who would you like to see be a champion sooner, Alexa Bliss or Asuka?
Oh, I'm only going to say Alexa Bliss just because I know every time Asuka wins the belt, she gets screwed over eventually, and I don't want to get my heart broken again.
Oh, God, you're giving her this.
I'm just saying they did her wrong in the past a few times, but I think Alexa Bliss, because she hasn't been the champion in so long, and there was a point in time where she was single-handedly carrying the SmackDown women's division.
Yeah, and you know, Alexa Bliss is such a great character on her own. And I love her and I want her to win it, but I'll go Asuka, because to me, Asuka without the title doesn't do a whole lot for me, because I've just never been a huge fan of her character. Great in ring, don't get me wrong. I just can't listen to her scream anymore. I'm just so tired of it. I have to almost mute the TV when she starts to talk out. You know, I haven't seen much Cleave on Ronda Rousey. I don't think we're going to get a title defense. It looks like we're going to get... you're clapping, which, you know, right, wrong, or indifferent. Right now, we're not getting a ton of titles. The only one right now is the Women's Raw title. Outside of that, I don't know if we're going to get any other titles on the line.
We had, one championship match last pay-per-view. I just don't understand. People want to see belts on the line. They want to see people fight for championship belts. I don't know what's going on with these writers sometimes. I swear, Joe, I feel like me and you can probably write a better episode than some of these other guys, because there's just no reason to have all these championships and they're just sitting on the sidelines.
But we're going to replay Butch versus New Day every week.
Yeah, like, I'm tired of that. I'm so tired of seeing that. Let them feud with other people. There's absolutely no reason why. I think Austin Theory will be around because he's Vince boy. There's no need to worry about it. But they put the belt on Ricochet, and you just don't see him anymore.
I mean, he's feuding, but it's like the he has had a title defense against I forget if it was Shanky or Jinder, but it's like, I don't get why we're not putting them on the pay per views.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. And then if we're being honest, he's feuding with Jinder Mahal. Like,
hey, former WWE champion.
Oh, come on.
Is that a lie or a fact?
It's a fact, but, you know, so is the great Khali, the former world's heavyweight champion. But no need to get into that again. But like we mentioned, you know, and then the next time you'll probably see Ricochet, he's probably losing the Intercontinental Champion. So it'll just be like, what is the point of doing this? They did it with Shinsuke. He held the Intercontinental Champion for so long.
Yeah, and didn't do dick with it.
Like two times. That's it. He's just carrying around this big piece of metal. It's just like, come on. Unify the belts. Why not? Just unify the middle tier belts. That way you can only have one champion. Might as well, because it seems like they just don't have time for the championship. So just cut the belts down and just unify, bring them all together. Have four belts on the Raw.
And lastly, you know, a couple of why we wind down the last few minutes here before AEW Dynamite again, Double or Nothing this week, Hell in a Cell week after that, big couple weeks of wrestling here. Cleveland, we are getting we mentioned 2-on-1 handicap match with MVP and Omos versus Lashley. We're also getting Ezekiel versus Kevin Owens. You know, Kevin Owens is always great in a Hell in a Cell. I don't know if Elias has ever been in a cell. I think he's been in a Elimination Chamber match, but Towns is kind of how you guys put Kevin Owens in Alpha Academy versus Ezekiel and a couple of guys in there. But what are you more intrigued by, KO Ezekiel storyline or Omos Lashley? Because I see online, I thought it would be the opposite, but right now people have liked Kevin Owens Ezekiel and people seem to be getting a little bit dreary on Omos Lashley.
I'm 50-50 just because I do like the direction. I think with the Bobby Lashley and Omos, Bobby Lashley is really, you can really see the crowd support that he's having. WWE is doing the right thing and building Bobby Lashley back up. He's becoming more comfortable on the mic. I know a lot of people have always pointed out that Bobby wasn't great with promos, but he's getting better by better. And I just think it's a nice feud. And also over there, I think the Kevin Owens Alpha Academy and Ezekiel is just a brilliant middle tier feud that a lot of people thought wouldn't hit, but now it's, I mean, a lot of people are behind Ezekiel, and I'm a huge fan of Alpha Academy. I just love Chad Gable. Surprisingly, I'm an oldest guy now. Early, I wasn't because I felt they were pushing him too fast, but now he's in a perfect setting.
Sheesh!
You know, that's just hilarious to see. And Kevin Owens is just the mastermind behind it all because he just wants to prove to everyone that this is Elias and not Ezekiel. And the things on Ezekiel's arm he wears to the ring is just like a little, his outfit just looks like a guy that from the 80s, like the Warriors fit or something. But overall, I just like both feuds, honestly. I can't pick which one I like better.
Yeah, and I get why we're getting a, you know, this is a good, they're both good storylines that don't need titles right now to me. Sure, things get a little redundant, especially around Mania and Backlash time, as we've gotten now. After this pay-per-view, things usually end in threes. We'll get fresh starts. Money in the Bank is usually a clean slate for everybody, really, that's especially involved in those matches. And then we have the biggest event in the summer on SummerSlam. Cleve, we definitely know we're getting Cena back at some time this summer. Bayley's always hinted around there. Do you foresee any, our pay-per-view, do you foresee any surprise comebacks, whether it be a veteran and maybe somebody who's been on injury for a while, or are you thinking, you know, and we'll save our, you know, who we think it will be for next week. We always save that for the predictions episode, but I feel like something at Hell in a Cell is coming, because usually, you know, it's a good match card, but not a great match card. And I feel like when they have a good match card, they always throw in a little bit something extra that the people didn't suspect of. And maybe that's just me hoping for it, but I don't know.
Maybe I'll go a little bit slight off the wall. I think maybe The Miz interjects himself into the Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes match. Because, you know, this past Monday he helped Seth Rollins with the beatdown, and it seems like The Miz just doesn't have anything going at the moment. He was just beating up Mustafa Ali, and now he's just beating up on Cody. So maybe he plays a role into that. I really don't see, I don't really know who's on the sidelines that could come back and just, you know, maybe Brock Lesnar, but who would he come back for? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I don't know. Maybe Veer shows up and puts somebody in the camel clutch. It'd be really great.
Man, poor Jerry the King Lawler. Every time he does the King's Court now, something bad, I feel like, happened to him. The Fiend got him the one time. Veer got him another. Up at the Mysterios.
I am low-key becoming a huge fan of Veer. I think I think he has all the makings of a future champion in this business. I think he has the potential. He's a big guy. His finishing move is quite unique. The camel clutch is already a painful maneuver, but him stretching your arm out and stretching your back, it's a wicked finisher, and he's really good on the mic, and I think WWE is doing the right thing by building him up the right way, feuding with the Mysterios. So I'm liking Veer.
I'm still going to keep myself in the middle, but I hope you're right. Cleve, on that note, I'm getting a little hungry. It's almost dinner time here. I want two things before we get out of here. Your goodbyes, and I can't wait to see you. We'll have one more show before that. And then Boston, Miami's at 2-2. Who wins the series?
Well, first, like I always do every episode, I just want to thank all our listeners that tune in every week to hear us talk wrestling. Hopefully next show we get Tampa Tones. I always love.
Oh, we'll get a couple of people.
And I always love calling Tones out on his nonsense. Hope I can't pump to see Ryu this week. You better bring your A game. I'm definitely going to be wearing that Ryu shirt that I got from you. So I'm really pumped for that. Boston and Celtics, I got Miami. I hate
loser.
Boston. I hate Boston. I'm just not feeling Boston. Yeah. And like Joe mentioned, we talked about earlier, I cannot wait to go meet up with the boys next week for the last weekend. Going to see Hell in a Cell will be a great time.
Oh, I cannot. I've never been to Hell in a Cell. None of us. We are going to have a phenomenal weekend, not only that day, but Friday catching up, Saturday with Tampa Tone's lady's birthday, and then Sunday, Hell in a Cell. That being said, I also can't wait to watch Double or Nothing this weekend. Everyone be safe. It's Memorial Day. Take advantage of the day off. Get a little extra sleep. Get a little party on. Be with your friends. But, man, we're in a great couple week stretch here of wrestling, and I'm going to start it right now by going to enjoy dinner and watch some Dynamite. That being said, this is Cleve. No, that's Cleve. This is me. I'm all confused and tongue-twisted tonight. God bless. Be safe. Be safe. Be safe. Be safe. Love y'all. Let's move on in the great next 2 weeks of wrestling.